Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Pick them back.
Gotta get back in time. Rewind it back. Gotta get back in time.
We have to go back in time.
Okay, we're starting something brand new on the show. It's called Back in Time, and it's as simple as that. Every week, we're going to take a random year and just remind ourselves of the big stories of that time, be it showbiz, sport, music, hard news, whatever you like. But there's also a nice little twist where two of you get to come on air and play a super fun head-to-head quiz on that particular year, and the winner walks away with a mega box of classic retro sweets, including, oh my God, wait till you hear this, Wham bars, refreshers, stingers, remember them, macaroon bars, and tons more. And they'll be sent to your door by our new pals at planetcandy.ie. And to kick off today, I'm joined by my old pal, Cormac Battle, not to be confused with the Cormick Battle. He used to work on the Nicky Byrne show. Morning, Cormac. How are you?
Good morning, Vietnam.
What year are we looking at?
What year are we looking at? Just because we're starting off this thing, I thought, we'll do a decade. So we'll go back a decade. We'll start in the year 2012. So the big news stories of 2012, the number one, I guess, was the re-election of Barack Obama. Do you remember him? Obama.
Have a listen.
Do you remember him?
If Congress doesn't act, it's the students who play. The right and left should join on this like Kim and Kanye.
Listen to him here.
There's some in Congress who disagree. They say keeping the interest rate low isn't the way to help our students. They say we should be doing everything we can to pay down the national debt. Well, so long as it doesn't include taxing billionaires. But their position is that students just have to make this rate increase work. Frankly, I don't buy it.
Like, that just...
The Barack Ness monster ain't buying it.
It just goes to show you how cool Barack Obama was, and we've forgotten all about him, kind of, at this stage, because time moves on.
Mixed feelings about him, isn't there?
Mixed feelings? I don't know. I don't have mixed feelings about him. I just think he was a good guy. I mean, seriously, compared to Donald Trump, which came after him?
This is true.
I mean, really? But, like, Barack Obama, in 2012, he was re-elected for a second term, but it was just after he got re-elected that he faced the worst moment of either of his two terms in office. The massacre of 20 children at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even an event on that scale, and Obama's political skills, could do much about gun control, because we haven't really seen anything change since. And as I said, you know, he was a cool dude. He could go on the Jimmy Fallon show, like you just heard there, and, you know, take the mick out of himself. Nobody else could seem to do that kind of stuff. He was down with the kids. People, you know, young people liked him, as opposed to most politicians who they don't really care about. Interestingly as well, this is also the year that Vladimir Putin was returned as president of Russia by an overwhelming majority. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, Donald Trump came next, and let us remember Barack Obama was there before him. Do you remember the Costa Concordia ship?
Remind me.
The Costa Concordia ship ran aground. This is a cruise ship carrying more than 4,000 passengers, and it collided with the rocks, capsizing just off Italy and killing 32 people at the start of 2012. But that enough was a tragedy, but it all centred around the captain of the ship.
That's right, I remember
captain
now.
Captain Francesco Schettino. He'd ordered that the Italian boat be steered closer to the island to go and kind of wave and flash their lights. And, you know, aren't we big? We got a very big boat. And it tore a 50-metre gash into the side and sent seawater flooding through the ship. And it took him an hour to start the evacuation after it hit the rocks, by which point access to lifeboats had already been affected, and it was, you know, turning into a major disaster. In the report on this, the captain, i.e. Captain Francesco, he tripped into a lifeboat himself, even though rescue officials were saying that there was loads of people still unaccounted for on the boat. And as you know, the last person on a ship going down has to be the captain, no matter what happens. Have a listen to this. This is a kind of chaos.
A loud screeching, like... and then a huge crash and almost like an explosion.
It sounded like a freight train and that metal was just rubbing up against metal.
And then the ship began to list quite heavily. Everything is sliding off the tables, people are screaming, and the lights went out.
It's a noisy clip because there's a lot of stuff. You can hear the sounds of actually what's happening in the background. But it took 2 years and 6 months to refloat the ship before it got sailed to a port and broken up for scrap. And the captain of the boat was jailed for 16 years for dereliction of his duty, leaving the ship and all that followed afterwards. 16 years.
Just not making very good decisions.
He jumped in a lifeboat.
Yeah.
He jumped in a lifeboat.
He ran away.
Aww. Also, again, this seems like it's been part of our lives forever. But on January the 9th in 2012, Netflix officially launched in Ireland, changing absolutely everything. Like, there were still DVD stores in Ireland in 2012 renting out DVDs. And did you know that Netflix actually started out as a DVD company rental? They used to send them in the post. That was what Netflix did. And then they went online and did what they did, as we know them now, as a subscription service. But it was a mega game changer, obviously, when Netflix hit us here in Ireland. Like, there's over 600,000 subscribers now. And it opened the door to, like, you know, Amazon Prime, Disney Now, and so on. Like, we've got so many streaming services. And it was... You know, it was the birth of the term binge watching. We'd never said anything about binge watching before because we couldn't binge watch anything. We had to wait a week to watch it. And that's when it came about. And Netflix and chill, you know, that term came about 10 years ago as well, in 2012. This was also the year that Spotify caught fire as well. It had been going a bit, but it really started rocketing the year Netflix came out. So now, at this point, we don't collect anything. We don't collect music. In physical form, we don't collect books. You read them on Kindles, your phone, and you listen to your music on Spotify. So we don't go out and buy anything anymore. We don't buy movies or anything like that. So, and Netflix, of course, was ad free. That was the whole idea. The subscription is ad free, but I've heard rumors that they're introducing a cheaper version soon with ads. So you can get a cheap Netflix with ads. But the show that defined what. What defined Netflix to you?
Breaking Bad,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, totally. Mm. It was Breaking Bad. I don't know why. It was the first thing I watched when it came on and changed my life because it is still the best series that's ever been made.
Phenomenal.
No question about it.
He is just...
Walter White, the loveliest, stroke scariest man in the whole world. And let's have a listen to...
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
I had no idea you were going to play that clip.
Yeah?
That's how in tune we are. I bet our cycles run the same time and everything.
With the moon and all that?
Yeah, because I had no idea you were going to go Breaking Bad. Isn't that mad?
Yeah.
That was the first thing that came into
Netflix
my head.
Netflix to me is Breaking Bad. That's what it means to me.
Bryan Cranston.
That's the dude.
Okay, so that was the news. What was the big tune of 2012?
Well, the biggest tune in the whole world, would you believe, was Gotye, somebody that I used to know, which we'll have a listen to in a wee while. But that wasn't the real song of the year, was it? Now, that wasn't the real song of the year. This was the real song of the year. Believe it or not, that came out in 2012. And what a lot of music snobs may not know about this, you know, that everyone's slagging this song off all the time, you know, oh, Wagon Wheel, this and Wagon, it's banned from various things. maybe not. I don't know if that's official. What a lot of music snobs don't know, but that's a Bob Dylan song. Did you know that?
No.
It's a Bob Dylan song, yeah. Wagon Wheel is about, and that's changed everything, hasn't it?
It's
Wagon Wheel by Bob Dylan, man.
This is Bob Dylan. Mama like a wagon wheel. Can I go out on a limb here?
Go on then.
Nathan Carter did a better job.
Do you think?
Ah, yeah.
Have you, and how many times have you heard the Bob Dylan version? Yeah. Do you know what, though? The song, you know, obviously it's a legendary song at this stage, but it's blacklisted by couples. When some couples blacklist it for DJs, they're not allowed to play it. It's part of a contract. You're not allowed to play Wagon Wheel. Of course, there are thousands of people who get married, and Wagon Wheel would be their first dance. And there was a man smashed into his neighbor's windows when he went completely mad because they were playing Nathan Carter's Wagon Wheel on repeat all night long. So that's why he decided to do. But look, it was the big, like, Gotcha was the biggest song in the whole world, but the video for Nathan Carter's Wagon Wheel has been viewed over 5 million times on YouTube. And that's it. Bob Dylan, exactly.
There was a showbiz story that dominated the headlines, though, in 2012.
There was, yeah. Like, there's only one story. Well, the Euros were actually happening, but one major sports story, and it's an event that happened on the 11th of February in 2012. I just got a little bit mixed up there. This is the showbiz story of the year.
Yeah.
And of course, it was the night before the Grammys, and this was announced all over the news.
Singer Whitney Houston, one of the greatest voices of our generation, has died. Whitney Houston has died. Grammy-winning entertainer, 48 years old. So we are just getting confirmation now, and it is sad news, and we're going to continue with this breaking news as long as we can here.
Yeah,
awful.
I
didn't know it was the night before the Grammys. I forgot that part of the story. But every time you mention Whitney Houston and her death, isn't this terrible? And this is what I hate about
legacies.
Not legacies, about the media sometimes. All I can picture is that bathtub and that bathroom.
Yeah, because there was pictures of it.
Paraphernalia, that hotel room. And that's all.
That's your memory.
It's not my memory. It's the first image that comes into my head when we talk about Whitney Houston's death. And it's awful.
I know.
She was such a tortured soul. And then, obviously, her daughter as well. It's just such a sad, sad story.
It is. Like, and Beyonce got it right. She said she is our queen and she opened doors and provided a blueprint for us all. And, like, to put to the scale of what Whitney Houston actually meant, between 1985 and 92, just 7 years, she sold 26 million albums in America alone. But, like, you know, she did have a lot of personal problems with her career.
It started at the beginning because Whitney Houston wasn't black enough for black people, wasn't white enough for white people. She had this awful kind of juxtapose.
Yeah, it was a big identity crisis.
Big identity crisis. They're pushing her into the pop world, and then she wasn't R&B enough. And that was happening very, very early on in her career. So she was always trying to prove herself.
Yeah, because she was originally started out as a gospel singer.
She started off as a gospel singer. She came from quite a rough, rough background. But then whoever was looking after, kind of, made her out to be this squeaky, clean pop singer. Which really wasn't true to herself. And she did quite well and made money and got into the charts and the mainstream.
She was huge. She was the biggest thing in the whole world.
Yeah, but she was shunned by a lot of the black community. Not all of it, but a lot of the black community. So she'd had all that since she was 16, 17, like...
And she found that very hard to leave behind because her drug use continued. She started to have a drug problem, especially around when she got married to singer Bobby Brown. She apparently he was a bad influence on her, and after a 6-year break from recording, she returned with an album, her last album in 2009, which went to number one. But then she had an incident with drugs. She accidentally drowned in a bath at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, and the coroner said it was heart disease. With cocaine was a contributing factor as well, but there was a lot of other drugs and alcohol involved in her death on the night. And it took place the night before the Grammy Awards, which she was due to attend a pre-Grammy party that night, the night she died. But here, have a listen to this clip from this is a famous gospel singer from America talking on the red carpet of the Grammys. Her name is Mandisa, and she summed up the feelings on the night.
She was who I emulated. She was who I grew up wanting to be like. And so when I got the news, I was heartbroken. I mean, it's such a loss for us. But, you know, the last song that she sang, it was Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And I really believe that she's seeing him face to face now. So I feel like our loss is heaven's gain, and that she's in a much better place and happy right now.
Why'd you pick that clip?
Well, because she's a gospel singer as well. There was loads of other kind of celebs that I just didn't really like.
She sounds a bit insincere. She's a bit too chirpy.
She's a bit too chirpy.
Whitney Houston just died 24 hours in a bath, and she's like,
she was who I emulated. She was who I grew up wanting to be like. And so,
what do you want her to do? Cry?
I want her to be somber and cry. Have you ever heard the death?
She's just being real.
Have you ever got the news of the death of a celebrity and shed a tear? Anybody over the years?
No, I don't think so.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I could not believe that. I was in my car. I heard it on the radio, and I cried. Anita Bald as well.
And you're as hard as nails.
I know. I think because I was such a fan as well. And she represented so much. And I'd seen her back in the day, you know, in
and
a little
university. And did you realise the tragedy of her life
Bristol.
At that point? Was it all a big surprise to you?
No, it wasn't a surprise to you. It was a car crash. You were just watching it, waiting for it to happen. Just,
yeah.
The sad thing was she was getting her life back on track.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but Whitney Houston, your woman's too chirpy for me. You should have picked a better clip. What about the sports moment?
This is a chirpy one, all right? This is chirpy. Olympics 2012 in London. I was actually not at the Olympics. I was in a pub in King's Cross watching this happen. Like, I was in London. I was near
That's
it.
That's like me when I
was near it.
I go to bed, I go, and it's Katie Taylor's. I was at the Olympics. Well, I was watching on the telly.
I was in London at the time. Yes, it's Katie Taylor. She was in the finals of the Olympics in the boxing. She faced off against a Russian girl called Sofia Ochigava in the final in London 10 years ago.
It was like a Rocky movie.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Like thousands of people flocked to the Copper Box Arena in London and various pubs like me around London at the time. And Bray, of course, where Katie's from. And she was actually losing, but she came back from behind to earn Ireland's first gold medal since 1996 in Atlanta. This is the clip of the end of the fight, and also what Katie had to say just afterwards.
The winner by a score of 10-8, and the Olympic champion.
Olympic champion, I've dreamed of this moment so many times before, and now I'm, you know, I just can't believe the grace of God in my life right now. I just want to thank everyone for all the prayers. I've said it yesterday as well, but all the prayers over the last week. I've been nothing without God, and I'm here because of the grace of God in my life, and because of Jesus in my life, and without him I'd be nothing really. So praise God, thank you Jesus for such a great victory today.
Extraordinary stuff, isn't it?
Well, she is extraordinary. She's worked on her speeches since, you know.
Yeah,
she manages to get her trainers in there and her sponsors and the people who support her, and not just thank Jesus,
just the man himself.
You
yeah,
know, but fair play.
Yeah, but like that. Yeah, that was some moment. I can't believe it's like 12
phenomenal.
Years ago already.
She is a god, and she just keeps getting better and better. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us, because when we come back, we've two people on the line who think they know more about 2012 than Mr. Cormac Battle, who picks questionable clips.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.